If you look at Ephesians 6 and verse 13, this is the section we're covering, verse 13 through 18. I'm going to read it for you. Paul says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." All right, so here's where we are. We're in a battle. The Apostle Paul says we're in a spiritual battle, and he wants us to be ready, to get ready, and essentially what he says three different times, be ready to stand. The whole idea here is that we can withstand when we become engaged with the enemy. And so that's going to require that we be properly fitted. The Christian needs to be in complete armor. And we already looked at verse 14 in the last couple of weeks. We looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And we put one word on them. The belt of truth is commitment. It's the idea of truthfulness, of integrity, of going into this battle, being enlisted in this army, and being committed to the task so that you don't turn and run, even though you might have all the other weapons, you don't turn and run when you see how outmanned and outnumbered you might be in that battle. And then last week we put on the breastplate of righteousness, which we said is essentially confidence. We put on not our righteousness, there's no confidence in that. We put on the righteousness of Christ. And that's the way Paul says it here in Philippians 3. We looked at it last week. He said, "I count everything as loss. All the stuff I've done as loss. I suffered the loss of those things. I count them as rubbish so that this can be true of me." Verse 9. "Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ. The righteousness of God that depends on faith." All right, so we have commitment and we have confidence, and now we're ready for the next piece of armor. And it's in the very next verse, verse 15. "And," he says, "as shoes for your feet." Or for those of you like me raised in the tradition of the King James Version, having your feet shod, which is, I'm glad we don't say that anymore. But we have shoes. We have shoes on our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Simple enough, you have to have your shoes on. Now, the soldier analogy, which is what Paul's using for all these analogies that he gives, is kind of simple for us. You go into battle as a soldier, you need to be sure you have the right shoes on. And modern warfare has a variety of shoes. We understand that. All kinds of activities have a variety of shoes. If you're like most women, this is typically true, you have way more shoes than men do. So you should have some idea, at least there must be some reason, why you have all those different shoes. You need the right shoe for the right activity. If you look at an athlete, today professional players, baseball players, football players, you go to their locker room, they're going to have at least as many pairs of shoes as they have teams that they play. Because every field has a different surface, and every surface requires a different shoe. So it's really, really important that you have the right shoes on. Now, being the romantic that I am, this Christmas, I decided to buy Christy a romantic gift, shoes. But I was so thoughtful and way ahead of my own spiritual training when I bought her more than one pair of shoes, because I bought her two different tennis shoes. And she might have been curious had I not straightened that out for her. They were for two different things. So she has a pair of tennis shoes when she goes to the gym, and she has a completely different pair of tennis shoes if she's walking on a trail. That makes sense, right? Got to have the right kind of shoes. Now, that's the same idea here. What kind of shoes did the Roman soldier have? Shoes like this. They were thick leather soles. They would lace them up all the way up, sometimes even past their thighs. And critical on the bottom is they had cleats. These cleats gave them traction no matter what kind of field they might be engaged in battle in. The enemy, very common ploy, would bury sharp objects in the field so that if the soldier was advancing and stepped on one of those objects and didn't have the right shoes on, didn't have the right protection, they were immediately debilitated because those spikes would pierce into their foot. So this is the kind of shoe they developed, a thicker leather sole than you typically see walking around in the first century. And all of that, really the key to that, I think what we want to think about is balance. The soldier in battle needs balance. If you have all these weapons that you're wielding, but you don't have balance, then it takes almost nothing to knock you over and to defeat you. A soldier needs balance, or we could say stability. Now, yesterday, just kind of a surprise visit, Chrissy and I had a visit from her aunt and uncle from Texas. They just drove through, and we had lunch with them. And they were telling the story of their grandson, who's 7 years old, playing football. And it was kind of humorous to hear them describe him being tiny, apparently, small for his age, but tough as nails. So he dresses up in these shoulder pads and football helmet, and they said that he has learned the art of running over people. And so he's a running back. However, if he ever falls, which eventually he falls, he's tackled or he loses his balance, the funny thing is he can't get back up. He can't lift his own weight with the shoulder pads and the helmet. So the coach has to, the coaches are on the field at that age. The coach has to grab him right here with the shoulder pads and stand him back up again. Now, the Roman soldier probably had the strength to stand back up again, but the idea here is don't get knocked down. You need balance. So we're talking about balance and stability. So let's move now from the analogy, which is the shoes of the soldier, and let's apply the spiritual application. So look again at verse 15. Look what it says. As shoes for your feet, here are the shoes that you need for your feet. Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So what the Apostle Paul is teaching you is, what is the key to your spiritual balance? What is the key to your spiritual stability? We're not protecting the vital organs anymore. We're just trying to be sure that we've got good balance and good stability. Or we could say it this way in the form of a question. On what are you standing? That's his question. On what, if you go into the battle, are you standing? And notice the word, we want to stand on readiness. We have put on, he says, readiness. In other words, we stand in our readiness. Now, that's an interesting word. It's translated readiness in almost every English Bible. It's a good translation. But we might better read that the way it's translated other ways in the Bible. The word's used a lot in the Bible. It's used in the New Testament Greek. It's used in the Old Testament when it's translated into Greek. Let me give you some examples of that same word, having put on the readiness. Proverbs, for instance, says in 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. He readied the heavens. It's the same word. It's the idea of something being established, of being fixed. In Jeremiah 51, it is God who made the earth by his power. There's the same word again, who readied the world, established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding, stretched out the heavens. When you go to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul here is talking about Christians, and he says Christians are vessels of mercy, which God has readied beforehand for glory. It's the same word, prepared, established, even before time, Christians were readied, like the universe was readied. Like the heavens created by God were readied. All of that means to be established, to be established. Ephesians, our book of Ephesians, we saw this already in chapter 2, verse 10. We as believers are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, there's our word again, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were readied by God. You have been prepared by God. That's the idea. So what Paul is saying is when you go into battle, you have to be prepared. You have to be established. You have to be on solid footing, or we could say solid ground. Your feet need to be steady. That's the shoes that you have to put on. Now, how does he say it? He says, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, you want to follow this. It's not complicated, but you want to be sure you get it clearly. Here's what he just said. This is an established, fixed steady position that was given to us. The readiness was given to us. Do you see it? You're putting on a preparation or a readiness or a stability that was, in fact, a gift. Now, how did you get the gift? Given by the gospel of peace. You stand in the readiness that was a gift to you, it says, by the gospel of peace. Now, at this point, this is interesting, and it's quite likely that in your Bibles, who has your Bible open? Look at chapter 6, verse 15, and tell me if you have a sentence there with all capitals. Does your sentence have all capitals? Any of you have that translation? None of you? Nobody has a New American Standard then, huh? Yours has all capitals. When you see all capitals in the New Testament, do you know what that means? If you're reading that and it has all capitals, it means it's quoting another verse somewhere. It's quoting another biblical reference. So it puts it in all caps to let you know it's a quotation. Now, if you don't have all caps, you might have a footnote that has cross references. You know what those are? Cross references. Now, here's what's really, really interesting. This verse almost always carries two cross references that we would assume then explains to us what he means by putting on the readiness given by the gospel of peace by wearing those shoes on our feet. Here's the two references. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So notice in that text we have the feet, we have the gospel, that's the good news, and we have the peace. And so the Bible translator said this must be a cross-reference to what we're reading there in Ephesians 6:15. How about this one, Romans 10:15? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Stop right there. What he's already said is, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how will they hear if they don't have a preacher? And how will the preacher preach unless he is sent? And then, as it is written, and this is a quote, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So apparently, at least it seems suggested by the cross references or the all caps in your Bible in Ephesians 6:15, that what Paul is saying is when you go into battle, be sure you go into battle preaching the good news. Be sure your feet are pretty feet, beautiful feet, the feet of an evangelist. I would render that if you've ever heard Ephesians 6:15 preached about these shoes, that's what you heard. That these were the shoes of the gospel, and that we, therefore, must always go into battle declaring the gospel. But that simply isn't what Paul is saying. Remember, when you interpret Scripture, you always start with the immediate context before you reach out into the broader context of Scripture to let Scripture interpret Scripture. But you can't ever violate the immediate context. You ladies learned this a year or 2 years ago now, maybe, when we studied how to study the Bible, women of the Word. Remember, every time you see red in the Bible, you're not supposed to think blood. Sometimes it just means red. And every time you see blood in the Bible, you're not supposed to automatically think, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because it may not be that. It may be that it's a sign of a prostitute, which is entirely different than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Remember when we studied that? So what tells you what a word means or a phrase means always has to begin with the immediate context. And just because in Ephesians 6:15 you have feet and you have a gospel and you have peace, it does not mean necessarily that it's talking about evangelism. Because the immediate context is what? Standing against the enemy. That's the context. Fighting against the enemy. Being certain that whatever we do, we stand against the assaults of the enemy. This isn't the advance of the gospel. This is a defense. So it can't be evangelism, but it's clearly the gospel. So in what way is the gospel our defense? To make it simple, this isn't us standing in our going out to preach the gospel. That doesn't even make any sense. It is our standing and having believed the gospel which was already preached to us. We're standing in the gift we were given when we believe the gospel preached to us. That's what this is talking about. That's the only thing the context allows it to be talking about. So when you were given the gospel, what were you given? You say, well, in this context, I was given peace. The gospel gave me peace. So we're not talking about our spreading peace. We're talking about the fact that we were given peace. We received peace. Now that's our last word. We've looked at shoes. We've looked at readiness. We looked at the gospel, and now we're ready for peace. So what is that talking about? What is this idea of the gospel of peace? Well, simple. Before the gospel, what were you? Before you believed the gospel, keep the context of this whole battle going on, what were you? The answer is, you were an enemy. You were an enemy of God before you believed the gospel. Before you received and were given the gift of the gospel, you were an enemy, right? We've studied that in Ephesians. That was chapter 1 through 3, reminding us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But more than that, we were enemies with God. So the gospel of peace hasn't given us peace, though it has, but that's not what this is. The gospel has made peace. Made peace between me and who? God. I have peace now between me and God. Colossians, we've learned over and over, is the parallel to Ephesians. And here's what Paul says in Colossians. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, watch, to reconcile to himself all things by making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who once were, look, an enemy, alienated, hostile, doing evil deeds, he's now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death so he can present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. He makes peace between enemies of God and God. Now look what he says next. If indeed you continue in the faith, the peace that he made between you and God, stable and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel. See, he's just repeating the same thing. It's the same thing he's teaching in Ephesians 6:15. You have to stand in the reality that you have made peace with God. Jesus has accomplished this in the gospel, and that's been given to you. Now, he says the same thing in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, we've been justified, that's the gospel, by faith, and so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and now we've obtained access by faith into this grace, look, in which we stand. What are we standing in? We're standing in the reality that we are now at peace with God. That's the gospel of peace that was given to us. You have to be steady there. You have to know that that's true. You stand firm in the knowledge that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the shoes we put on every day. We put on the certainty that we have made peace with God through Christ. But stay with me. What possible effect does that have on the enemy? The whole context is fighting the enemy. This kind of peace was about me fighting God. Why does Paul use that picture here as the way in which I fight the enemy? This peace had an effect between me and God, but what effect does it have between me and my enemy? So think with me here, ladies, because this is where it all gets unlocked. When the devil comes at you with whatever he comes at you with, the world or the flesh, when the enemy has you vastly outnumbered, vastly outgunned, vastly outmanned, and he has all of that, you have this certainty. Listen, God is now on your side. That makes all the difference. Because you know this, you plus God always wins against any number of enemies. And over again in the Bible, God shows us, like Gideon, remember? Gideon's going to go out to battle. I'll count your men. I got 30,000 men. Too many, God says. Well, then we'll cut it down to 3,000 men. Too many, God says. Then he makes him do this really curious thing, lapping water or cupping water. And he gets down to 300 men, vastly outnumbered, and then God says, you're ready to go to battle, knowing that I'm going with you. How many times have you read that in the Bible? He always goes into battle with us. And that always guarantees you victory. That's what Paul's talking about. It's the courage, listen, it's the courage of knowing that now God fights on your side. It's like the little boy or little girl who's bullied in school, right? Always bullied in school, always opening the locker and getting her books kicked down the hallway, always shaking until next year, Big Brother is at the same school, or she goes up to Big Brother school. Yeah, she's not timid anymore. She's not afraid anymore because she's got Big Brother on her side. And it doesn't matter how many bullies line up against her. She's got Big Brother on her side. And that gives you courage. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. We have peace with God, and that peace brings us courage. So this is what we've got so far, ladies. We have the belt of truth, which is our commitment. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which is our confidence. And now we have these shoes, which brings us our courage. And there's a sense in which, if you look at your text, we're done with this. Because now Paul says, and having that, let's start putting on some other pieces. It's almost like this defines the context of the believer in battle. And now we're really ready to start picking up the elements, the real strategic weapons that we will use. All we've done here really is just get dressed. So you got that? Simple? Simple. Be committed. Be confident. And be courageous. Because you've made peace with God. And every day you get up knowing, I don't know what's happening. God's on my side today. God's on my side today. Got it? Good.